But I've been a working man dang near all my life, and I'll keep on working long as my two hands are
working man. Celebrating Labor Day here at my house, Rosie on the house again, with visiting guest Dr. David Dean, assistant professor of history at Grand Canyon University, always loaded with a ton of information. I mean, just the conversation we got in during the half-hour break about the trolley neighborhood in Phoenix, we could do a whole show just on that.
We could.
I never knew that part of Phoenix history.
Yeah, it was kind of that idea of developers who would master plan things. So they would master plan, say, a neighborhood, then a park close by. The park would have programming. How do you get people to attend that programming? You build a trolley to bring them from other parts of the city out to that park. And then you show them, look, here's a new neighborhood over here. Why would you want to live in these crummy old homes over this way? You could live out in these. That master planning. And they got the idea for doing that. And, of course, they sat on the water boards and all that kind of stuff. They go off to California and they replicate that at a massive scale, and that's how we get some of the bigger cities in the Los Angeles area, because they learned how to do it here.
Isn't that interesting?
Moses Sherman and some of the others.
Wow. Well, let's talk about the other Rosie.
Rosie the Riveter.
Rosie the Riveter.
So since it is talking about labor, and we want to do a little equal time, we talk about kind of women in the workforce. And Rosie the Riveter is kind of our iconic moment where women enter the workforce as a result of World War II, but in a large number. If we think about World War II, 310,000 women went to work in the aircraft industry alone. They represented 65% of the production of our aircraft during World War II, who came from the hands of women. Women had been in the workforce prior to that, and it was kind of socially kind of odd. It was teachers, it was nurses, it was certain feminine type jobs, but or secretaries and that kind of stuff. And now you have them entering the man's world kind of thing. And after World War II, that kind of changes, but we see this kind of moment as an opportunity for women, and certainly the iconic poster Rosie the Riveter helps us. That was a propaganda campaign based on an art piece. Later, Norman Rockwell kind of repainted it as such, and that kind of caused a copyright infringement issue with the original artist. And so they had to revert back. And so that's why you sometimes will see two different but very similar images of the young woman with the bandana around her head and her fist up and her flexing that those
good
guns.
Muscles, yeah.
You know.
I didn't know it had that kind of numbers represented just in the airline industry. 65% of the production coming off the assembly lines were done by women. That's incredible.
Yeah, and if you think about World War II, 350,000 women actually joined the armed forces. They were part of the WACs, whether that was or the WAVES, doing support work in the background of while men were off to war. Many of the airplanes that were made out of the Seattle and Pacific Northwest area, they had to get to bases around the country. They were flown there by women. That was part of the WAC's duties, was to fly those airplanes, those bombers, those fighters, in squadrons down to, say, California or off to Florida or to other places where then they would be used as part of our defense and things.
Rosie the River, I'm often asked, is that where my name came from? And no, it's not.
Just to clarify.
And then they want to know, well, were you named after Rosie Greer, the football player on the L.A. Rams? I said, no, I was not.
I don't remember Rosie Greer? I do. I just would think that Rosie, you would have already been around when Rosie Greer.
I was. And I was named after my dad, who was born before Rosie Greer was born. And Rosie Greer did needlepoint. And he was like a starting guard on the L.A. Rams. I don't remember all the details. But anyway. So, celebrating Labor Day, we're ending the summer. We're starting the football collegiate season.
Right, and that's kind of what we kind of refer to. Remember, it's after Labor Day. You can no longer wear white. It's the time when our
that's old school.
our New England sensibilities come about. It's kind of a last clam bakes for those of us who like those. But it kind of marks that end of summer, the last family vacations. That's why people are making the last hurrah to get out of town, because schools are really starting up. We have the kind of the fall academic semesters in our universities and college. The NCAA world comes alive with football. even LSU and stuff. So
even LSU.
And well, we're out here in the West, and it just marks a kind of that end of summer kind of thing. We shift our thinking towards fall. Within what 20 days or so, we'll be thinking about our autumnal equinox and our solstice. Those different things that relate to fall. We'll be thinking about harvest. If you go into any retailer, you're already thinking about
holidays.
Christmas.
You know? Oh man!
So it just kind of marks that kind of seasonal change and. And so that's why we see that kind of as an end of summer. Soon baseball will wind down. The boys of summer will become just the playoffs. And, you know, so it marks a kind of a season. And I think Americans really feel that. If we see the July 4th is kind of the height of summer, we see Memorial Day is kind of the kickoff of summer, we see Labor Day is kind of the end of summer. And we mark time as people. We mark time with these kind of occasions, these kind of seasonal things, and I think it helps us feel that seasonal change.
And the students are moving back on campus, and all the students at Grand Canyon University there, and that's certainly a growing number. There's a topic we could have just on Grand Canyon University. Is when we come into the studio in the morning, very often the Phoenix Police Department has a spokesman here from the Silent Witness Program, and they're doing some recording stuff. And we mentioned to him that we had a guest from Grand Canyon University. He went on for 15 minutes about the positive impact GCU has had in that part of town. So congratulations to everything Grand Canyon University is accomplishing, both scholastically and socioeconomically in the neighborhood.
Right. It's a really great place to work. It's a great place to be. The students that we have are awesome. The average incoming GPA this year is like a 3.6 or so, 3.6.
That's awesome.
Well, incredible.
Well, Dr. David Dean, Assistant Professor of History from Grand Canyon University, thank you for joining us and bringing us up to date and giving us our education on the history of Labor Day. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you for letting me be here.
Thanks a million. Hey, we'll be coming up in the next several hours. We've got John J. Harper in the studio. We'll be talking about those particular events that need to be happening right now as we wrap up summer for your plants and begin the look forward to the autumn season. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about things that we are doing in the remodeling world right now in and around Arizona as it relates to age of certain homes. What vintage is your home? What should you be considering doing to that vintage home to bring it into modern times? And of course, we'll be taking your calls and giving you a list of ideas of things you could get done in a 3-day weekend, all right here through 11 o'clock at Rosie on the House.
Keep Rosie on the House the number one referral directory in the state by voting at rosieonthehouse.com or ranking Arizona.